Hello, everyone. So I can definitely just talk off the top of my head on this one. I'm not reading right anything. I'm going to go from the dome flow. So when I think about my childhood, one more addendum to the details of my childhood story. So when I was in the crime world, there were a handful of rapists and rape apologists who labeled themselves as Christians. They were the ones who would serve in ministries, air quote, tithe to the church, air quote, and participate in church activities, air quote. In the crime world I was in, against my will, there were domestic violence offenders, domestic abusers, domestic violence offenders, apologists, and domestic abusers, apologists, who served in ministries, air quote, tithers of the church, air quote, and participated in church activities, air quote. They were the type to cover up physical abuses and sexual abuses. They were the type to not ever report to the police what they knew and what they saw as the witnesses / bystanders that they were of physical abuses and sexual abuses. And I remember that they were always quoting scriptures, quoting Christian cliches, and they were always quoting Christianese. They were always singing hymns, singing gospel music, playing gospel music, always engaging in what appeared to be speaking in tongues, praise dancing and praise worship. And they were always saying classic Christian sayings that they speak in the church, and they were basically the holy rollers that are being talked about today. They were hyper-religious, legalistic, pharisaical people. Scratch that, monsters. I don't say people regarding them. And they were self-righteous, holier-than-thou types. They were of judgmentalism. They were of the cult version of religious dogmatism. And they were, in their demonic minds, they were cult leading in Jesus's name. And in their demonic minds, they were cult following Jesus' name. They were trying their best to turn Jesus's church into a Satan pleasing cult. And they attempted to Christianize that. They were the type that would... They were the religious version of TMZ. Any gossip, salacious, sensationalistic aspect of people's private lives, they would make those kind of statements about people's private lives. Some were confirmed to be true. Some were confirmed to be baseless allegations of falsehoods. These were the type of people that called themselves Church of God and Christ Pentecostals. They were black in terms of ethnicity. I'm just giving you descriptions of them. I remember they wore, when they were around church people and I would walk the streets, and sometimes when you walk the streets, I would see them at church events because they would have church events out in the open to the public. And I would see those same people in these churches. Scratch that. These particular ones were monsters. Most of the people in these churches were angelic souls. I'm referring to the criminals. These were the same criminals that I would see sticking people up, pickpocketing, panhandling, burglarizing, embezzling, Ponzi scheming. They were con artists, scam artists, choke artists, bullshit artists. And they were stick-up artists. They always did get rich or die trying schemes. No diss to 50 Cent. I'm just describing how that was their mentality. They would do get rich quick schemes. They would falsify documentation and records just to get free money out of government programs. And they would, they were fraudsters. Always financial fraud because of that lust for money, lust for material things. They were the keeping up with the Joneses types. These are the same people that it was confirmed to be true that they even stole, they embezzled the churches they were in. They would do business deals with some of the members and defraud them. They would defraud the choir lofts, defraud the pulpits, defraud the pews, defraud the Sunday schools, defraud Bible study. And I remember that they would defraud the building funds, and they would defraud the love offerings. They would defraud the tithes and offerings. They would defraud overseas community outreach funds. They would defraud ministry funds. And I remember that they would, some of them, when they would pass the plate around in the church to give money, they would take some for themselves. They just did it secretly. When people weren't looking, let me take a little bit of the church plate offering money. These were the same people that committed the rapes of children and adults. Some of those adults and the children in the churches they were in. Some of the rapes of adults and children outside of the churches. Outside of the churches in general. And so they would do rape of children and adults in the streets and rape of children and adults in the church. And they were also child abusers and adult abusers physically. They would physically abuse children and adults in the churches they were in and outside of the churches within the streets. So, and many of them had life partners that they would victimize with domestic violence, intimate partner violence, intimate partner sexual violence, domestic sexual violence. And and they claim to be, they even said we're the mature, true Christians. And you're probably wondering, how did you know all this stuff? These same monsters would openly confess these things to anybody who wouldn't listen. And that's why they're no longer with us, because the streets killed them. The streets killed them before the church could even consider putting them on trial, criminal court and civil court, because the churches they were in were about to put them in criminal court, civil court, because a small amount of the victims of rape and domestic violence and sexual violence and the physical abuse went to the preachers and the pastors and the church leadership about what happened. And the pastors, church leadership, and the preachers were also victimized with rape and physical abuse. So these are all the things they confessed to on the streets. Now, I didn't see the streets kill them, but they were openly bragging about doing these things, and there was a large amount of street people listening and watching them say these things. And from what I was told, you know, all the witnesses started coming out of the woodwork. Because at first, many witnesses, out of fear, they were taught to lie by the perpetrators and predators. So they lied out of fear, not out of a lack of noble character. But when, you know, this was before the monsters were killed, the witnesses were all prepared to testify because they got tired of the sexual terrorism, the physical terrorism, the economic terrorism. And they were all like, in Jesus' name, we gonna put you in jail. We gonna tell all the graphic hard truths of what you said and did to us. But before that could happen, the streets murdered all the predators and all the perpetrators. Because in the streets' mind, we are so angry at you, right? That's how they felt towards the perpetrators. You piss us off so much, we don't even think you're good enough to be on trial or any kind of trial. Because we just want to kill you right now, because if you're willing to do that to these families, then you're going to be raping my family, defrauding my family, beating up my family. causing physical contusions to the flesh of my relatives. So the streets took it personal, murderously personal, and killed them all. So the legal justice never happened. These were stories I was told. And I remember, like I told you, walking the streets and seeing these same criminals. Because these are the same criminals that also participated in drug rings. So I already knew of their lack of a good reputation. Because I was always hearing bad stuff about them. You would hear the drug rings part of them, how they were violent and fearsome and murderous. And those stories confirmed to be true. So the people, the families of the people that they killed, the friends of the people that they killed, the colleagues of the people that they killed, were also prepared to testify. So it was a large group of people willing to have them prosecuted, because they were about to get federal charges. They were that close, because enough people were ready to go to the feds about them. They were willing to testify in federal court about them, but the streets killed them before they could do that, because they were ready. They all decided, we're going to testify, we're going to go to the federal law enforcement in a few days. They were like, I just got to make sure I get all my memory ready, and got to make sure I remember everything that happened, and make sure I have all the evidence. So they were gathering all the evidence, making all the preparations, proof-wise, evidence-wise, to make sure, okay, we could easily have this person convicted unanimously by the entire jury. So they had written statements ready. They had photographic evidence ready. They had videographic evidence ready. They had audiographic evidence ready, because a lot of it they recorded and taped. They were ready, but they were denied that legal justice. Some felt relief. Others were upset that they didn't get the legal justice that they deserve and entitled to. So I remember what happened was, the streets, in terms of, okay, what happened to the people who killed? Or I remember, these were the type of criminals that really didn't bother anybody. They did their dirt like misdemeanors. They were the misdemeanor types. Those committed misdemeanors. They weren't into heavy crimes. They would just do the slap on your wrist type crimes that many in law enforcement would not give them a large amount of jail time. Maybe a few months here, a few months there in a penitentiary, just a few months. But they would be back out before the year was over. They did those type of crimes. But they killed because they were angry that you're willing to torture children. That was the first thing. Then they were like, you're willing to torment adults too? And torturing children, the worst thing? So they had compound uncontrollable ragefulness. And so what happened to them was nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened to them. Because they didn't bother anybody, you know, because overall they were acting nice to people, it was swept under the rug. In the crime world, when some criminals are nice to you, and you see them nice to other criminals, and they're nice to what people in society call civilians, people that don't commit crimes in the eyes of society, sweeping things under the rug usually is what happens. So, to my knowledge, they never got any legal penalties for killing all these violent sex predators, nor these violent sex perpetrators, you know. In the crime world, that does occur. Now, if you are mean and rude and disrespectful and nasty to other criminals and civilians, usually people will testify against you in a heartbeat, some of them. Some of them will go to police on you, as the old school saying goes, as quick as a finger snap. If you do misdemeanor crimes, people really don't have, a lot of people don't want to tell on you because you don't do the kind of crimes that would cause them to lose a loved one or cause them to lose a job opportunity or lose my house or lose my car or lose my insurance or, you know, lose what I have. When you don't try to take from people what they have, some people feel like, I ain't gonna tell on you if you commit crimes as long as you're not, you know, being violent against my people and you're not causing my people living fear, you're not violent towards me, and you're not taking my stuff and not have me living fear, you're not taking the stuff of people I love. Is swept under the rug. That's why you have a lot of that's one of the reasons why you have many unreported crimes in our global world. So, in the streets, you hear things. And many times they overlook and disregard the fact that you're a child. In their mind, well, you're in the streets with us, so you're going to be told what we get told. You're going to know what we know. You're going to hear what we hear. You're going to be privy to what we're privy to. So, in that street world, there are many Pharisees in the organized crime world. So, how are they rape apologists, domestic abuse apologists, and child abuse apologists, adult abuse apologists? One, they actually did these things. And two, they would defend other people who did these things out loud. That day when they were just on the streets, just blurting out what they were doing, they would go, yeah, no one should get jail time for doing these things. Not even me. Not even the people I love who do these things. And those same people, the loved ones who were doing all the crimes that they were doing, got the streets murdered them too. The streets was able to find addresses and within phone books. So in a phone book, you get addresses and you get contact information. And they were able to find all these people, connect all the dots, and kill all of them. It was a week or two's amount of murderous rampages, meaning they killed these people for a week or two. It was a murderous rampage for at least 7 days or 14 days because it didn't take them long to figure out, oh, this is your last name. That means you're related to this person. Or I heard about or know of your friends, your family. Okay. So that's how that happened. And again, it was swept under the rug. In the crime world, killing abusers is highly valued. criminals are happy when bad things happen to abusers. Especially if you're shot dead. Like if they beat you, rob you, and kill you. Many criminals in the crime world will praise dance to that. I've actually seen that happen. If you abuse children, that's the quickest way to be killed and die in the crime world. The streets will rejoice, and the civilians will rejoice too. I've seen that happen. And in the crime world, the killing of adult abusers is also highly valued. Civilians in the streets will be jubilant about adult abuser slaughter. I've seen that happen. So abusers, if you kill an abuser, or beat an abuser, or rob an abuser, or be violent towards an abuser, or sending death threats and violent threats to abusers, civilians and criminals in the crime world are usually euphoric about that. That's why what happens to abusers gets swept under the rug all the time. I've personally behold those type of criminalistic incidents. So, I didn't say everybody in the world of religion does these things. I didn't say everybody, each house of worship does these things. I never said that, never had, never will. I'm just saying some of it is in the world of religion, not because of religion, but because of the criminals who misclaim religion, God, even. And I felt like I want to make it clear that in the crime world, there is no such thing as a repented rapist. There's no such thing as a repentant pedophile. In the crime world, there's no such thing as a repentant child abuser. There's no such thing as an repentant adult rapist. There's no such thing in the crime world as a repentant adult abuser. There's no such thing in the crime world as a repentant child abuser. In the crime world, there's no such thing as a repentant adult rapist. Repentant domestic abusers, repentant domestic violence offenders, repentant intimate partner sexual violence offenders, repentant and domestic sexual violence offenders. Those concepts do not exist in the crime world. That means when you do these things, no forgiveness, no grace, no mercy, no compassion, no empathy, no sympathy. And the civilians feel the exact same way that the criminals do. So that is one thing. These are some of the things that criminals and civilians strongly agree with each other on. They may not agree with each other much because they live totally different lifestyles, but they both agree. If you're out here torturing people sexually, violently, and you're defrauding people financially, they go, well, you're worthy of death. You're worthy of capital punishment. You're worthy of being shot dead and stabbed dead. You're worthy of being firebombed to death. You're worthy of being set on fire to death. To burn to death. They would say you're not even worthy to be cremated, buried. You're not even worthy to have an unmarked grave. You don't even deserve a grave. And they will go, well, you're not even worthy to have a funeral. No repast for you. No graveyard for you. No tombstone for you. No mausoleum for you. That's what the civilians and the criminals strongly agreed with each other on, and I saw these things happen. Civilians, they didn't mind criminals as long as you didn't commit heavy crimes. Like, if you do petty, slap on the wrist, misdemeanor type crimes, the civilians didn't care. Just don't ruin my life and the life of the people I love. Just don't be out here ruining people's lives. You're gonna do your dirt, make sure you can easily get back out. That type of thing. That's what I saw growing up. And so many people go, are they really civilians if they cool with criminals committing some kind of crimes? That is a valid point, and I strongly agree with you in advance. And I feel like, you know, to be honest, being in such a world, that world is, as I say in closing, in that kind of world, when people are not careful, even civilians and criminals may band together to go on violent, murderous rampages against child abusers of all kinds, adult abusers of all kinds, I know. Because I actually witnessed it, and it was all swept under the rug. Oh, how did they get their money back? The criminals compensated all the church people and all the street people. Paid them more than full, meaning all the, like, they chose not to give the church and the streets their crime money, but they were able to have legal job working people pay back all the people in the church and the streets that were defrauded by the predators, perpetrators. That's how they got their money back. They raised funds to make sure the church people and street people were good. The criminals organized it. And they decided, nah, man, we can't give the church our street money. We can't give the church our sin money. We can't give the church our dirty money, our crime money. Nah, man, that's an affront to God. We can't stick Christ for his paper. So they chose to, in their mind, do right by God's people and worldly people in that way. And this church people, street people were all visibly excitable by everything that happened. And regarding the thank you for paying us back, and, you know, eventually, this is what I was told, and what happened with the criminals, the people in the church, they gave them cheap grace and cheap mercy. Like, they knew that these people killed the people that did what they did, but they were like, well, because you paid us back, we'll just say we forgive you. Because they didn't kill anyone else after that. They just killed all the specific people that took from God and his in God's church and took from the streets and the worldly people. So in their mind, you're not killing anymore, so, and you paid us back, and every time we interact, you've always been nice. So the church people and the street people swept under the rug everything. And the streets killed all the people that did the drug business of organized crime with them. And the streets were able to help rehabilitate all the addicts. like, nah, we just gonna make sure they go to rehab and they all end up getting clean. So that was the last I heard about them. And no legal penalties when they killed all the people they did drug business with. And they were able to have all the drugs flushed down the sewage plant. That's where it went. All that was swept under the rug too, because civilians and criminals were thankful that substance use disorder, alcohol use disorder was over forever. And the money was all burned up and put in the trash, the drug money. That was the last thing that was swept under the rug. Very last statement. Yes, in the crime world, people selling themselves, their loved ones, and strangers for drugs and alcohol hits and fixes in terms of addiction is all true. Some will even sell themselves, others, loved ones, and even strangers into sexual slavery to maintain their brain chemical dependency on narcotics and even liquor. Those things happen as well. All the multimillionaires, even billionaires that I knew in the hood, were rich off of the illegal drug trade. They lived in war zone battlefield ghettos, and their mothers were living in those same type neighborhoods with them, but they were hyper materialistic when it came to luxurious jewelry, the luxurious cash stacks, and the luxurious vehicles. So all those statements that people make about the crime world when it comes to those things are all true. In the crime world, I could tell you what's true and what is false and what is exaggerated. Drug dealers think they can be basketball players, and many basketball players think they could be drug dealers just because they got a pair of Jordans. And committing crimes over Jordan sneakers is all real too. And this is my last statement. I mean it this time. My flashbacks, memories won't go away until I say this for good. Is that people gambling over sporting events, that's very true. Name it. Basketball, baseball, football. That happens illegally. Some win and the money, some lose the money. Either way, violence amongst themselves happen as an inevitable outcome.